Antigua, Armenia, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Chechnya, Hungary, Ireland, Japan, Latvia, Mexico, Nigeria, Philippines,
Russia,
Slovenia, South Africa, United States.
Greetings, netizens around the world. The planet is once again listening to the technology show for Generation E. Mick Williams, Cyberline, coming at you around the world via the internet, coast to coast via satellite on the USA Radio Network. All right, greetings, citizens. Once again, we are here, me and Video Bob.
Hey.
Hey. And we're actually getting out the air. So hopefully we'll all hold together unlike last time. But we got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about tonight. Some major things have happened this week in the world of tech. And our high school memories, our kindergarten memories probably more like, crossed into tech with disastrous results. And we'll be talking about that tonight. Bob, what all of you got on the queue?
Oh, we need to talk about space hotels and... you know, space parachutes and all sorts of stuff like that. Space.
Hmm. I don't know about the hotel thing.
Oh, why not?
It must be a heck of a trip for the ice bucket.
Hey, let's go ahead and start. Because, frankly, the Voyager Station is a new hotel that is going to be in space. Based on what I'm seeing, like 2027. But it's Voyager Station. And they've actually got a website, voyagerstation.com. And they're going to build, you know... a hotel in space.
How are they going to build the hotel in space?
Lots of rockets, I'm sure.
They can do that between now and 2027?
Well, I don't hold me to it, but yeah.
I've seen pictures of it. It almost looks like the space station in 2001.
Yeah, it really looks cool. If you look at the pictures they've got, I mean, they're showing it every bit as if a hotel that you'd go to stay at, just downtown
like
or, you know.
Or something.
Oh, sure. Yeah, because they're showing the Voyager Station. Like, the first thing they show is the bedroom on there. Then you see the luxury villas. So, let's see, our luxury accommodations can be booked for a week and rented for a month. So, yeah, you're going to be want to stay there a week. If I was going to go up, that would be awesome to do. Hotel suites. They've got gym and activity modules on there. Our gymnasium and activity module is the place to go anytime, day or night. And they're showing like this basketball hoop that's like 20 feet up. And, you know, they're showing the people that were, you know, dunking it way up 20 feet up. You know,
oh, yeah, low gravity.
Yeah, not a problem at all. So they've got that. They've got a restaurant in there, bar. Of course, you're going to have a bar. Crazy. I just think it's pretty cool that they're looking at, that they're looking at actually having a place to stay up there in space in 2027.
They say anything that they've got a contract with any of the private rocket groups that's going to help, you know, put a payload on and take that up there?
Well, place. This is just talking about visiting Voyager. Okay, they do have the build section on the on it. Let's see, combining the experience of the last 50 years of space flight and the technology of today with the dreams of tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Voyager Station, they've got a big docking hub or a big ring on it. Outer ring truss, so they've got, they're looking at a big habitat ring. Everything that you see on sci-fi today, they've got it there. And it's something I'd love to do, but I haven't seen how much it costs to go there yet.
Well, a couple of things, you know, we talked about, and Charlie Jones and me as well. And, of course, they're wanting to build like a miniature ISS around the moon to help facilitate the moon landings and stuff. And Charlie's like, well, you know, look how long it took to build the ISS. And I was like, yeah, but we were starting off like Apollo, you know, with just blueprints, basically. And now we have so much knowledge and technology behind us. I think them being able to do something like that around the moon, you know, can be done pretty quickly. I don't know if they get it done by 2024, but definitely before the end of this decade. And same thing with this. I mean, you know, again, we have all of the technology from the last 20 years with the ISS and other things, plus all of the new stuff that they're able to do. And correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there an experiment a few years back where somebody had taken a ship and it was like supposed to be an inflatable habitat in space and it like orbited for so much time and then burned up in the atmosphere?
Really? No, I hadn't heard of that one.
It was, they were working on an inflatable one so people could live in it, just like a small space station kind of thing. And I want to say that they got it up and they had tested it and stuff, but something had happened or went wrong with it. I'd probably have to Google it and find out. But they were even talking about, well, you know, this is the way we could do it. We can put inflatables up and people can, you know, live in a habitat and everything. And I'm like, yeah, that's all great until the micrometeor comes along or, you know, part off a satellite that, you know, fallen off or somebody's wrench from 1965 floating around.
Yeah, that could ruin your day.
Yep, definitely, you know, depressurize the whole the whole balloon, as it were. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to see how they're getting that done. I'm just curious as to, you know, where they are with contracts and if SpaceX has got a hand in it or Cygnus or somebody else. So it'd be kind of neat to see.
Well, it's interesting. There's not a price tag on there, so I just went over to look and see if CNN's got an article on this, and they say, for now, there's the Space Hotel isn't advertising a room rate, but expect it to come with a pretty hefty price tag attached. Virgin Galactic, for example, plans to launch passengers into suborbital space at $250,000 a person per trip.
Yeah, and you're not up there that long either.
Right.
A couple hours and bam, you're back down. Whereas you could probably take that same amount of money, pad on a little more, and stay for a day or two and walk around like a normal human being and enjoy the sights and everything and then put back in your capsule and come back down.
Well, this is the kind of stuff that we're looking for to get into that, you know, the final frontier. We need to get this going to where you can actually do at least some kind of space stay up there. And getting this space hotel up there, I think it's a fantastic venture. I really love to see them get this going. And, boy, I'd like to visit this myself.
Well, hopefully they can pull it off and in our lifetime and be able to see it. And who knows, maybe make enough money, we can go do it and do a show there.
Sure. I don't know if I can write a check for that $250,000, but as far as the rest of it, you know, it's pretty darn nice to be able to do these things. Especially, I have to wonder how much gravity is in this thing, because they do show it as a big wheel. So, you know, you're going to spin this thing and create an artificial gravity by centrifugal force, which is not really a force, but they call it that. It's
the force that is not a force.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. They always say there's no such thing as centrifugal force, but it's really the object, you know, an object in motion remains in motion until an equal or opposite force will go against it. And that's kind of what the whole thing really is about. But centrifugal force is how we know it.
Well, I have it on somewhat good authority that Kim Komando has a fear of heights. So if we can beat her to the punch.
Okay.
And we take plenty of, you know, non-puke pills to keep us from having vertigo, we should be able to be the first to broadcast from it then.
Well, I will say this, as much as I love to go up there, and yeah, I would love to go up there. I think I'm pretty sure I would do that. But, you know, this whole space venture, we've seen issues. You know, it's not without any risk at all. Even the space shuttles that were going on, they, you know, basically one out of 25 had issues. And yep. That was because it was number 25, I believe, was Challenger. And then you had which one was number 50?
It was Columbia.
Yeah, Columbia. And those two, unfortunately, they burned, you know, they didn't complete their mission.
Well, Challenger, if they had done things right, should have never happened, because they should have, they pretty much knew something was going on and they should have prevented it from happening. But Columbia, that was just a fluke accident, you know.
And yeah, that's true.
We found out that, you know, wow, stuff breaks off and hits the wing.
Yeah, the one of the tiles, as I recall, one of the tiles got hit and shattered, and when it came to reentry, that shattered tile caused the problem of
hot gases got into the wing and started melting everything down from the inside.
Yeah. So yeah. It just couldn't sustain. So that's when they came up with the drones that fly around the space station. They'll get they got a camera that flies around the thing and takes pictures of the whole thing. And once it gets up there, to look to see if there's any problem with any tiles.
Yeah, that flip thing was kind of neat. They did after that. They would, before they would dock, they would flip the shuttles. They could get pictures of the bottom tiles on its belly and check and see if there's any damage, anything. And so far, up until I think the last flight, they had no problems, at least not anything they could see, you know, where they were going to have to do a rescue or something or leave them up there. And worked out for them fairly well until they, you know, Atlantis flew its last flight, and we ended up piggybacking with the Russians until now. So this is a good thing with SpaceX. Don't have to be on the Russians' dole. And they keep jacking the price up because they're the only game in town.
Oh, I know. And so it's a good thing that we're doing this now. And I love the fact that it's coming from America. We just need to keep up the
USA,
research.
USA.
Hey, well, it's a deal. We've seen so much of our manufacturing base go overseas, and I'm concerned about that just from a standpoint of a country needs to have its manufacturing base here domestically so we don't have to be dependent. We saw with the whole COVID thing how dependent we are on other countries.
Yeah, and like chips.
Yeah, yeah. So, yes, I want to see everything come from here. But back to space and that, the you know, we've got that thing that we're talking about with the hotel up there. And, you know, that's so cool that we can do this, that we can go up into space like that. And I'm really looking forward to 2027 when, you know, I'll try to get up there. But there's also the Perseverance Mars rover.
Oh, yes.
You know that landed. We should have probably talked about it more last week, but it landed successfully. It was a wonderful video that they've got out there. They've got it on the ground. It should be doing a lot more work. It's even got a drone.
Speaking of which, when's that thing supposed to start flying?
No, I don't know about when it's going to start flying, but they
would have been up by now.
They've been going through everything. But did you know that the did you happen to see the parachute that they showed? And it looked very odd, didn't you? Did you see it? It had all these like little bars in it that were
binary.
Yeah, it was a binary message that was actually embedded in this parachute, and it was an odd message, I thought. But the message, did you know what the message is?
Tell me.
It is things mighty dare.
Ah, that's it. I remember there was a message. I just couldn't remember what it was.
Well, it was an odd message. And I was like, okay, things mighty dare. Okay. And I know it's got to be a quote from somewhere, but.
Yeah, it's somebody, scientist or something, said it. And that's why they put it in there.
But
with the word perseverance, I'm sure.
But yeah, they needed a way to know exactly the orientation of the parachute. So in order to get a good way to detect that, they needed to have the parachute be unique. And it was a matter of making sure that there were so many bars on this thing that you knew exactly what the orientation was going to be. And so binary message written in the bars.
And definitely worked. All right, we come back and talk a little bit more about space. And did you hear what Alexa had to say about the Mars mission as well?
Well, yes.
We'll talk about that in just a moment. Listen to William Summerlin. Cyberline with you. 844 Radio US. 844 Radio US. Host 2020 at cyber-line.com. Facebook.com/cyberlinenet. And of course, the Tweety, Cyberline USA. The Specials, Ghost Town, one of their hits. Won't play no more. Too much fighting. And hopefully that won't be so much a ghost town around here come Wednesday, when Governor Abbott is going to lift the restrictions for us in being able to not have to wear the masks and have everybody open 100% again.
Ah, there we go.
Which would be good. Sorry about that. All right. And you heard the thing about Alexa, right?
I did. You know what? I actually I either saw something that you posted or but I went over and I did ask Alexa.
Yeah.
I did ask Alexa, and that was hilarious. They did a great job on that.
I didn't pay attention at first, but she got so serious and everything, and I just really not paid attention. And then at the end, she's talking about the, you know, hearing the Martian wind, and hopefully eventually they'll hear Martians break wind.
Uh-huh.
And I caught the, and what? And I had to go back and do it again. I was like, she did say that. Some of them cheeky little devils over there at Amazon.
Oh, they did.
On us.
Yeah, that was really good. I was like glad to hear that they did that.
Yeah. So you were talking about a space hurricane.
Oh, yeah. And that's, you know, the crazy thing. All this stuff is happening now. We even have space hurricanes. So there's a mass of plasma roiled above, let's see, article over at Science Magazine. Oh, I'm sorry. It was over Huffington Post, the science section on there by Hillary Hansen. She mentioned the mass of plasma roiled above the magnetic North Pole for about 8 hours, raining electrons instead of water. Scientists have identified a space hurricane and approximately 620-mile-wide whirling mass of plasma in the upper atmosphere above the magnetic North Pole. They go on and say, until now, it was uncertain that space plasma hurricanes even existed. So to prove this with such a striking observation is incredible. So they actually were able to see this stuff. But what they're showing in the pictures that they've got online, those are recreations. So it's an illustration of what it might look like. But, you know, there was a space hurricane up there that rained down electrons on the area. But it's only over the North Pole. So you'd think it seems just like the Aurora Borealis. So, but
yeah,
it's pictures different.
Of it, or maybe it was an artist's rendition. I don't know. But that's kind of what I thought. I was like, well, isn't that an Aurora Borealis?
Yeah, so it's just one more thing. It's just one more thing we've got to worry about. Space hurricanes.
Great.
So
they'll probably try to say, well, that's part of climate change, you know, that big space hurricane is, you know, screwing us up.
Well, it would be kind of neat, though. You know, you've got this space hotel up there, and if it gets up there in 2027, you might be able to view the space hurricane from your observation. I think it would be kind of cool.
That's possible. I mean, it's amazing the pictures that come back from the ISS of hurricanes, you know, in the water and everything else.
Yeah, but having this vision, you know, I love the opening of Star Trek, because that's really where, I guess, we're just trying to go as humanity, as a people, you know, to boldly go where no one's gone before and to get out there, get to Mars, get to the moon. Just, you know, let's just start there, get back to the moon and then build a space station up there. Build something that will, you know, since the lighter gravity, then we could actually use the resources on the moon to get to Mars.
I agree. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Listen to McWilliams Cyberline.